All right, we're going to wrap up our post-race media availabilities for today's Geico 500 with our race winner, Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Auto Trader Ford. Joey, this is your third win here at Talladega. Why don't you take us through that
my
final...
My coat got shooken up a little bit. We're good now.
Why don't you just take us through that final push there to the win?
Yeah. Man, it was crazy. Such a powerful team, powerful car. I was able to get everything working really well today. You know, it just feels so good to be back in victory lane. But, you know, I think all the Fords had very fast cars. You know, saw qualifying and the way the stages worked, it showed that we were working together as a team really well. So I was proud to be a part of that. You know, and there at the end, you know, you work together as much as you can, and then you just want to make sure a Ford wins, and you hope it's you, but you try to do the right thing as well. And you know, I had some Stuart Haas cars behind me, which you know, aren't necessarily teammates, but with the Ford performance relationship, you know, it's the closest thing that I'm ever going to have to it. So I was thankful to have them behind me. You know, I was wondering what kind of fight they were going to put on there at the end. They're working together, but they got split up, and that kind of changed the complexion of the race when it came down to the end there, the last few corners. So it was all about just making the right blocks, keeping them close so I didn't pull away too far and they get a big run. I mean, just staring in the mirror pretty much the whole time. So great job by a team. Our spotter, TJ Majors, it was a great addition to our race team as far as Speedway racing. He's the best as they come, and I think Dale Jr. taught him a lot. So thanks to Dale for retiring so I can get him. And it's been a great first, it has been 10 races or so this year so far, so it was we've been consistent, we've been getting better every week. You know, last week we were able to win a couple stages, lead some laps. Today, lead some laps and get some good stage points, and then you know, ultimately have the checkered flag in our hands. So it feels really good to pull back into victory lane again. It's been so long. It's been way too long. So we're not going to wait that long again.
All right. We'll open up to questions here. We'll start in the middle with Mike and then go to Holly and Bob.
Mike Hember, USA Today. With the cars being more or less unstable today, were you concerned late in the race that you couldn't be able to make the moves you might have to make, knowing that?
You know, it's the moves you make can't be as aggressive, but it's the same for the guy behind you, right? They can't make as much of an aggressive move as we used to either because they're unstable. You know, and that's just it's a product of what we have as far as the ride height rule going away. All our race teams are how can we make our cars as fast as we can make them, which takes downforce away, grip away, and you know, you see the cars that are, you know, they're out of control, especially down straightaway through the trioval. That's probably where it's the worst. Making big moves, especially on the exit of the corner, sometimes that gets really bad too. So you know, our car handled pretty well. I feel like I was able to make some fairly aggressive moves, not as aggressive as I'd like sometimes, but I was able to make the right moves at the right time, and ultimately, you know, secure the lead. And then after that, you know, you just got to be on your game. I missed a block early in the race with the 11, which lost us the lead one time, and I thought, man, that might come back and bite me, but we had the right strategy and good pit stop that got us back in front of him. Or he sped. I guess that's what got us in front of him again.
Go to Holly, Bob, and then Matt.
Hey, Joey, over here.
Hey.
How are you? Holly
Kane. I'm pretty good.
I guess so. Holly Kane, NASCAR Wire Service. When you are leading like you are in the very final few laps like that, are you feeling very confident I'm in front, or, oh, my gosh, I hope they don't get me? What is the, you know?
You know, I don't think neither of those thoughts really go through your mind. There's no, oh, my gosh, I'm winning the race, or, you know, or confident that you're going to hold them all off. You're in the moment, right? You're living in that moment that you're just trying to listen to everything. It's like a ultra focus you got to have. You're trying to listen to your spotter and every little thing that he says. You're staring in the mirror and looking what, you know, the car behind you looks like they're doing, and the car behind him looks like they're trying to do, and where they're trying to figure these runs are coming out. And, you know, we really thought the 17 and the 9 is where the runs were going to come from because they kept lagging back and all that. And those are the blocks that we were going to have to make to you know, maintain the lead. That's kind of what we thought was going to happen. And yeah, some of that did play out, but, you know, unfortunately, Kevin kind of got shuffled out. Kurt made the block and then was able to hold his runoff that he got from them. So once we came off turn four, I felt like I had one more block, and then we were able to get it to the start finish line, and that's what it was. He had one good run through turns three and four, was able to go up and get that block, and then after that, I was pushed out ahead good enough to come across the line.
We'll go back to Bob, Matt, and then Christian.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Kind of along those lines, and what you were talking about, how you had all the Stuart Haas guys behind you. Were you just that good today, or do you think it was this package that didn't allow them to get together, or is restrictor plate racing just so unpredictable as far as who works with who that it's still kind of a toss-up?
Yeah, I think, you know, really, we did a good job, yes, but so did a lot of other cars today, and mainly those Fords. I mean, the Stuart Haas cars were quick, and I really thought those were the cars, you know, no matter where they went, if they got to the outside of me, I was hosed. I knew that. That would have been the end of it for me. I would have gotten passed by pretty much the whole train, probably. I lost so much momentum. Because I knew they were going to work together, as they should. But once they got picked apart, I think that was the game changer. You know, I think Kevin was happy with riding behind me until the last lap, probably. I felt like, you know, those were when the runs were going to start forming and when they were going to come behind him. And I think he was waiting for that right moment for when the run got behind him and he was going to take that push. And once he got shuffled out, then it changed the whole complexion, like I said. So I was fully expecting something like that to happen. I was going to make sure that run they got wasn't too big and I was going to try to stay backed up to him. That was kind of my play. So, you know, like I said, I wasn't quite a Lone Ranger out there until the last lap. You know, before that, I felt like the Fords worked really well together, and that's the reason why we were able to, you know, have a top three, you know, breakaway there for a little bit. That we had all those Fords on the bottom. That's a big deal for everyone. That's a big deal for Ford to show the strength that they got, but also the teamwork. It's a big deal for us. We do a lot of team bonding trips and different things, and that stuff starts to show here more and more as we grow closer.
We'll go to Matt, Christian, and then Dustin.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. In talking to Todd earlier, he said that he really didn't allow himself to get caught up in what happened after Richmond last year. I'm curious, what kind of toll did a season like that take on you, and how important was it to be able to come out fast earlier this year and now win the race and just kind of completely distance yourself from it?
You know, it's... You know, when you get news like that, obviously first you're shocked, you're surprised. As a driver, you don't know what's going on. You just drive the car and, you know, you're kind of like, oh, that stinks. And, you know, your initial reaction is, I'm going to go out there next week and show them what's up. And then, you know, we came here, we crashed. We went, the next couple of weeks we crashed and we lost all our momentum and he's got a slump. It was surprising to be in that. And towards the end of last year, we started building some speed back, some confidence back to where we could run in the top 10, grab a top 5 every now and again. And that was good. But, you know, to fire off the season being consistent, you know, all but one race in the top 10, scoring way more stage points. I think more stage points than we scored all year last year, probably. I don't know that, but it feels like it. It might be true. You know, and then, you know, leading laps last couple weeks, that confidence just keeps building back to where we know we can be, right? And, you know, everyone, you know, there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, a lot of people ask that question millions of times of, you know, what happened, when you guys going to get back? And it's still the same team. You know, not much has changed. It's the same, you know, core group that's made two amazing fights to almost win a championship. And we stuck together for that reason. And anytime you go through times of trial like that, that's very challenging for everyone. And if you can get through that together, you're stronger. And for that reason, I feel like my team's never been stronger. I feel like we still need to make our cars a little bit faster. But as a race car driver, I think I'll say that forever. I said, you're never fast enough, but we're getting closer. And today we proved it.
All right, we'll go to Christian, Dustin, and then Al.
Christian Coley, frontstretch.com and the Motorsports News Source. Joey, I asked Todd about switching spotters over the offseason. Can you tell us a little bit about switching from Tab to TJ over the offseason, and then how important TJ was at the end of the race?
Yeah, TJ, you know, I've talked to him for years and built a relationship with him over the last few years, and you know, he's a very loyal person. Very loyal, because we tried really hard. but he's very loyal to Dale Jr., and that's you know, a great test to his character of who he is, and you know, made me really want him even more on my race team. And when Jr. retired, you know, he gave me his word that you know, he gave me first look at it, and we weren't going to give him the option to go somewhere else. And I just felt like it was a good move for us. He's a you know, I think when it comes to speedway racing, I don't think there's someone better than that. You know, he is fun over the off season to watch films together, and you know, for him to teach me things about the draft. You know, and kind of share his notebook with my notebook and teach each other what we're thinking in certain scenarios and what we should do. And then to see all that come to play, you know, over the speed weeks and really obviously it's here today, to see all that is very exciting. You know, and what the future can bring. When you look at the dominance that Dale Jr. was able to have, I think he taught him a lot, and, you know, we're getting some of that benefit too.
I'm going to go to Dustin and then Jerry.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Can you go back to a couple laps to go? You talk about wanting to see what Stenhouse and Chase were going to do. It seemed like the pieces were in place in your favor, that even with two Stewart Haas cars behind you, you know, Stenhouse and Chase probably aren't going to work as well together, and that's going to create some friction. The Stewart Haas cars would have needed maybe a third car to get by you. I mean, was it? I mean, did you almost feel like everything was in place for you unless somebody started working well together, that this was in, for you, the way, you know, people couldn't make as aggressive moves? It seemed, not to take anything away, it seemed like it was, although it got a little bit wild there, a couple of, I think it was surprising maybe how maybe tame's not the right word, but just how it played out the last couple laps.
Yeah, honestly, once they got too wide, I felt better about it. The runs don't usually come at you as quickly when cars are too wide. You know, they're going to slow each other down, especially at the end of the race. Everyone's going to be right on each other's door and trying to pull each other back. So when they started getting too wide back there, I was like, okay, this is all right. You know, it's not the end of the world. The runs are going to be slower, but it's also hard to block two of them at the same time if that's the case, right? If they're both coming at you at the same speed, you got to pick one or the other. You know, my car's only so wide. I know I can make it pretty wide, but not that wide. But, you know, I think, like I said, once they got too wide, I felt like I was in a little, maybe a little better shape, maybe just different overall. And like I said, you just got this ultra focus that you're just in that zone. And there's so much going on. I mean, that feeling when you get across the line, man, there ain't nothing like that. I haven't been that excited since the 500. And it's just been so long, right? And you pull in the victory lane, and you see everybody again all so excited, and you see our little man there. That was so special.
We'll go to Jerry and then Dominic.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires, .net, and PRN. It's funny you should bring up the little guy. I talked to Brittany before the racing. You know, you're Joey Logano, the great race car driver, but apparently at home you're Joey Logano, the great dad. And what was it like to have little guy in victory lane? But also, she says you guys got a really cool schedule. You're kind of protective during the week.
Yeah, I tried to take some of the night shifts and some of the, you know, during the day, take a little bit of time, give mama a break. He's not a real easy baby, which means he'll probably be a really good race car driver because he cries a lot. So he'll fit right in here. he can do whatever he wants. He didn't have to drive a race car. But it was, you know, to me, that's the coolest feeling. You know, it was amazing to pull in the victory lane and to celebrate with your guys. But when I turned around and saw, you know, Hudson and Brittany over there, that I may have cried a little bit. That was it's just cool. You know, it's a different feeling. You know, everyone always says, you know, you don't understand until you have kids. And I always kind of shook my head and was like, yeah, okay. And now having a little guy and seeing him there, yeah, he may not remember, but you know, for me, that was very special. And for Brittany, I hope it was too. And something we'll cherish forever. We'll have a great family picture in victory lane at Talladega. And that's pretty cool. Not many people have a family picture like that. So that's pretty cool.
We'll go to Dominic.
Dominic Catagona with the Racing Experts and ESPN Albuquerque. Back to the stage points thing. So last year you scored 160 stage points altogether. This time around you are the third driver to hit the 100-point mark, 101 stage points. Just get your thoughts on that and kind of the turnaround from last year in that category.
Yeah, really, stage points are a direct correlation to speed, right? There's sometimes a car that doesn't maybe have as much speed can squeak out a good finish every now and again. You know, get a top 10, get a top 5. Things happen at the end of the race. You can get something. But in the mid part of the race, you know, especially at the beginning of the race, it's a lot of times where you qualify is a big part of it for the first stage. And the second stage, a lot of times, it's just how fast you are. And you're able to maintain that speed and stay up there and grab those points. So, our cars are quicker is what it says.
We'll go over to the far right to Jim.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Two questions. The first, when Todd was talking about your situation at the end of the race and who was around you, he kept mentioning that you had people around you that you were very comfortable with, that you and Kevin Harvick have actually developed a very good relationship when it comes and tend to find each other in these races. Some people might find that surprising. But I wondered, as the race with no teammates and the race was coming to a close, did you feel comfortable with the people that you found yourself around towards the end?
To answer your question, I don't think you ever feel comfortable here. Right? Just, no matter who's behind you, you don't feel comfortable. Your heart rate is digging, at least mine, maybe it's because I'm a high-strung person, but my heart rate goes fast as here as it does at Bristol. It's just so much going on. But to the point Todd said with Kevin, I look at him as, you know, almost a teammate at this point. You know, we race really well together, not only at super speedways, but we do seem to find each other a lot here. But even on mile and a half, short tracks, we seem to work well together. We race hard, don't get me wrong, but there's times that during the race that we really see the big picture. And it surprising probably after the beginning parts of my career, but it shows that, you know, you're able to move past things. You know, you don't hold grudges forever. You try to figure things out, and over the time racing a lot together, I think we both respect each other's talents and the things that he's able to do off the racetrack and I'm able to do off the racetrack. And as far as trying to help grow our sport, I think we work a lot together there as well. So there's, you know, now that he drives a Ford, it makes it even easier for us to have that relationship. It's good to have an ally like Kevin out there.
And
you don't want to have him on your bad side, is what I figured out, too.
Second question, what prompted the roof hatch exit?
Why not? I had a roof hatch. You don't have that every week. I did that before here, the first time we won here, and I forgot the second time, and I was like, man, I'll come out the roof. Man, we're raising the roof, brother.
All right, do we have any final questions for a race winner? We'll go to Kelly in the back.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Joey, it kind of seems like you have flown under the radar a little bit coming into today, and, you know, you were second in points. You mentioned stage points and, running up front and things like that. Kind of what's gone into the turnaround, and how good do you feel about what you have going on, you know, this early in the season?
Yeah, I feel great about the consistency, and especially the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, we've picked it up, you know, Richmond and then here. And obviously two unique racetracks and a lot of different things that's going on. But overall, you know, just staying consistent, I think, you know, staying a team, staying confident in each other, knowing that Todd's the guy for the job and I'm the guy for the job, and our engineers are in the right places, and our road crew and our pit crew is all in the right places. Knowing that and being able to focus on what's ahead and work together is a very big piece. When you start pointing fingers at each other, that's when teams start to, you know, implode from the inside out. And I think as a race team, we've been able to stick together through the tough time, and hopefully all that's over, and we don't have to wait another year in a race to get back here. And not that I was counting.
We have one more question down here in the media center, and then we'll wrap up in the press box.
Just a hypothetical question. Had McMurray not gotten airborne on Friday and they had remained with the rules package that was in place, how much different would the racing have been out there today?
Honestly, I don't think much. You're still going pretty fast in the draft, and obviously we'd be going a little bit faster without the plate change, and We were already on edge. I probably would have crashed more, I guess, if I had to pick one thing. And after a car goes airborne like that and we were going so fast, and we came here faster than we've been in a long time because race teams are getting smarter and they keep trying things and making cars faster, right? So you're gonna obviously keep going faster. You know, when we come back here in the fall, cars will be going fast again as everyone gets better. So, you know, NASCAR had to do something. You know, from a safety standpoint, you can't have cars going up in the air. That's not good. We got to keep them on the ground. You know, from being inside the car, I like to keep them on the ground. It's important. But I think even from a fan standpoint, it's a safety factor to keep cars from going into catch fences.
We'll go up to the press box. No more questions.
Nobody's
from the press
home.
Box. All right, Joey. Well, congratulations. Good luck
next
week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good trip home.